On your mark, get set, go.
Good evening, everyone. Today, we're going to veer a little bit off from what we've been doing. We were in the middle of going through the first bracha of the Shemoneh Esrei, Magen Avram. But just as Rosh Hashanah time, we went through a prayer of Aleinu, because it's Rosh Hashanah time, and we know Aleinu is a very important part of Musaf on Rosh Hashanah. So now, I would like to, for the next couple of weeks, depending how long it takes us, because Chanukah is approaching, to again not discuss, we'll still be discussing the Shemoneh Esrei, but we're going to go through Al HaNisim, the special added prayer that we do on Chanukah. That is what we're going to discuss right now. So I think the first thing that we should do is just kind of run through the actual prayer of Al HaNisim and translate it, so that we should have an overall picture of what we're saying. So we begin Al HaNisim for the miracles, Vala Purkan for the redemption. That's how I understand the translation, redemption. They use the word salvation for the redemption, Vala HaGevurais for the mighty deeds, Vala Teshuais and for the salvations, Vala Melchamais and for the wars, She'asis Alav Yisenu, that you performed for our forefathers, Bayamim Haheim, in those days, Bazman Azeh, at this time. This is the introductory paragraph to this prayer of Al HaNisim. And we know this prayer of Al HaNisim is recited Chanukah and Purim. So now let's continue. Bimei Matisyahu ben Yochanan, in the days of Matisyahu, the son of Yochanan, the Kohen Gadol, the high priest, Chashmonai, who was from the family of the Chashmonai family, Uvanov and his sons, in the days of this man, Kesha'amda Malchus Yevon HaRasha, when the evil Greek kingdom arose, Al Amcha Yisrael, against your nation Israel, Lashkicham Torasecha, to make them forget your Torah, Lavirame Chukai Ritzaynecha, and to cause them to transgress or to stray from the laws of your will, Va'ata Barachamech HaRabim, but you, Hashem, in your abundant mercy, Amarat Elohim, you stood up for them, Be'es Sarasam, at their time of travail. Rafta es Rivam, you quarrel their quarrels, Danta es Dinam, you judge their judgment, Nakamtes Nikmasam, you avenged their revenge. Masarti Gibarim Bayar Chalashim, you handed over the mighty into the hands of the weak, Rabim Bayad Miatim, and the many in the hands of the few, and the impure into the hands of the pure, Urishayim biyat tzadikim, and the evil into the hands of the righteous, v'zeidim biyat eskei sarasecha, and the wanton into the hands of those who study your Torah. Ulecha asisa, and for you made shem gadol v'kadosh b'olamecha, a great and holy name in your world. Ulamcha Yisrael asisa, and for your nation Israel, you performed, Teshua Gadoila, a great salvation, Ulfarkan and redemption, Kayemaza, on this day. Va'achar Kain, and after this, Bo'u Vanech Levir Beisecha, your children came to the Holy of Holies of your house, Ulfinu Eseichalecha, they cleaned your Heichal, your sanctuary, V'tiaru Es Mikdashecha, and they cleansed your Beis Hamikdash, your temple, the Tiarus Mikdashecha, they purified your sanctuary, Vidliku Neris Bachatzres Kachecha, and they lit candles in the courtyard of your holy courtyards, Vakavu Shmoinas Mechanaka Elu, and they established these 8 days of Hanukkah, Lohidaisu Lahalel, to give thanks and praise, L'shemecha Gadol, to your great name. Okay, so that's just running through the prayer and its meaning. Okay, now let's go back. We'll go through piece by piece. Now, the first thing that we really have to do is... Just a second. Get a Gemara.
Didn't they have to rebuild the base of the
Mikdash? We'll get to piece by piece.
queen.
Okay. So the first thing we should do right now is go through the Gemara in Shabbos when it talks about Hanukkah. So the Gemara says, "My Hanukkah." What is Hanukkah? Which Rashi explains, it means, for which miracle did they establish the holiday of Hanukkah? The Tana Rabbanan, the sages taught, B'chafei B'Kislev, the 25th of Kislev, Yomei D'Chanukah Tamanya Inan. They are the 8 days of Hanukkah starting then. There are mispah behind. There's no eulogies during those days. And there's no fasting during those days. Because when the Greeks entered the Beis HaMikdash, the temple, they contaminated, they made impure all the oils that were in the Beis HaMikdash. Ukshagavra Malchus Beis Chashmonai, and when the kingdom of the house of Chashmonai became mighty, was overpowered, v'nitzchum, and was victorious over them, Batku, they searched, v'lai matzu elapach echad shal shemen. They found only one flask of oil, shoya munach b'chayseba shakayin gadol, that had placed on it the seal of the high priest, which meant that it was pure. V'lai hayabai elahadlak yom echad. There was only enough oil to light for one day. Nasa by Nes, a miracle occurred. V'hidliku mimenu shmeinas yamim. And they were able to light from that one flask for 8 days. V'shana acheres, the following year. Kavum, they established them. V'asum yamim tevim, and they made them into holidays. Here are the words that we need to focus on. Bahalo v'hayda, in praise and giving thanks. The days of Hanukkah were established as holidays, b'halal b'hayda. They are holidays of giving praise and thanks. Rashi tells us, what does it mean b'halal b'hayda? Lav she'asir b'malacha. They're not forbidden to do work, right? There's no restrictions of any kind of work like on Shabbos and Yontif. Shloi nikru elo likreis halal. They were established for the purpose of reading halal. V'leimar al hanisim, and to say al hanisim b'hayda in the prayer of thanks. So when we read al hanisim, when we say al hanisim, whether it be in Shemona Esrei or in benching, al hanisim is what the holiday was established for. It was established for this. It was established to say hallel, and it was established to say al hanisim. That's what it was established for. Now we can discuss what happened to lighting the menorah. That's a separate discussion. But Rashi is telling us in the Gemara, when the Gemara tells us that Hanukkah was established as 8 days of Hallel and Haidah, it means it was established as a holiday to recite Hallel and to recite Al Hanisim in the prayer of Haidah, in the Shemayna Esrei, and in the blessing of thanks that we say in benching. But I just want to, my point here is to bring out that reciting Al Hanisim is what Hanukkah is for. That is what Hanukkah was established for. It was established for saying Hallel and for saying Al Hanisim. That's what Rashi tells us. So this prayer of Al Hanisim is extremely important because it's what Hanukkah was established to do. Okay. We also understand that this prayer of Al Hanisim is a prayer of thanks. And therefore, it was included in the bracha of modim, in the bracha in which we give thanks. Okay. Now, the thoughts I'm going to share with you come from the Sefer Sipsei Chaim, which were the talks given, lectures given, the talks given by Rabbi Chaim Friedlander Zatzal of the Panevish Yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael. Okay. Now, the first question that he brings up is that What when we're thanking Hashem in Al Hanisim, okay, which miracles are mentioned in Al Hanisim? Basically, which ones are mentioned and which ones aren't? So we have the miracle of why is that mentioned in Al Hanisim? Nothing in Al Hanisim about that. Okay, Al Hanisim talks about being saved. That's what Al-Nisim talks about. It talks about being saved from the Yavanim. There is no explicit mention of the miracle of the oil. The closest thing you get to talking about the menorah is when it says, towards the end, when it says, afterwards they came to your holy of holies, they cleaned out the temple, they purified your sanctuary, and they lit candles in the court in your holy courtyard. It just says they lit candles, which reading it is part of what they were saying they were able to do. When they were victorious, able to go into the Beis HaMikdash, able to clean it, able to light the menorah, but there's no specific mention of the miracle of the fact that there was only a flask for one night and it burned for 8 days. The whole focus is on the miracle of being saved from the Avanim. So therefore, what we have to understand is, says Reb Chaim Friedlander, and this really needs a lot more discussion, but just coming to the point, the way he says it is that when we recite Hallel, we're reciting Hallel for the miracle of the oil. That's what Hallel is about. Hallel is thanking Hashem for the miracle of the oil. Al Hanisim is thanking Hashem for the miracle of being saved from the Avanim. So that's why there's no mention of it. Why do we have to separate it? Like I say, that's a whole different. That is a long discussion on its own. But right now, for our purposes of going through Al Hanisim, we only mention the miracle of the wars, the miracle of salvation, because that's what Al Hanisim is about. Al Hanisim is about thanking Hashem for that. Where do we thank Hashem for the miracle of the oil? Says Rabbi Friedlander, that is where we do in Hallel.
Why do you believe this is victory is a miracle?
We'll talk about it. Okay? Now, let's just say, Al Hanisim, for the miracles. Now, you'll notice in some Sidurim, or at least in the art scroll, they actually, in parentheses, they have the Al Hanisim, right? Whether there's above there or not. But I don't really think it makes a difference because at the end of the day, you know, we start with the words for the miracles, for the redemption. What for the miracles? What for the redemption? The answer is the continuation from before, right? We said Modim, we thank you. We thank Hashem for the daily miracles. And then we say, and for the miracles that you did in those days. We thank you for the miracles that you did in those days. So Al Hanisim, for the miracles. Va'al ha-purkan. Okay, purkan, Friedlander explains that, says the word purkan comes from the word pidyon, redemption. We use that word redemption when we were taken out of Egypt. We were redeemed from Egypt. So here, too, we're using the word purkan for the redemption. Va'al ha-gvurais, for the mighty deeds, as we will discuss soon, when Hashem gave us victory over the Greeks, those victories, which as we see, were considered miracles, that showed Hashem's might, Hashem's gevura, Hashem's ability to give the Jewish people the ability to be victorious over the mighty Greek army, that is a manifestation of Hashem's might, of Hashem's strength. Va'ala teshuais, and for the salvations. So here we have to ask a question. We just said Al HaPurkan. We thank you for the redemption. What does it mean, Vala Teshuais? What are we saying more for the salvations? What's the difference between Purkan, redemption, and Teshuais and salvations? What's the difference between them? So Rav Friedlander explains it in the following. He explains that Purkan, at least according to one explanation it would be, that Purkan is a general description. Right? We were redeemed for the Greeks. The Greeks had control over our lives. We weren't able to serve Hashem in the Beis HaMikdash. They took the Beis HaMikdash away from us. We were subservient to them, and they didn't allow us to serve God. And through the miracle of Hanukkah, we were now redeemed. We were now taken out from under their control. The same we were taken out from Egypt, from under their control. Egypt was slavery. But we were taken out in the same way we talk about, there's a general idea, concept of Yitzias Mitzrayim, we were taken out from Egypt, taken out from under their control. So Purkan means we were now freed from the domination of the Greeks, at least when it comes to being able to serve in the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, Teshuais, Rabbi Friedlander explains, refers to what happens after that. So for instance, or maybe we could call it the details. His example is, the Jewish people redeemed from Egypt. Okay, they were redeemed. They were taken out. They were free. But they still needed, after that, salvation, right? They had to deal 40 years in the desert. They had to deal with the Yamsuf, right? They got out of Egypt, then they met the Egyptians, and the Egyptians chased them to the Red Sea. And then they had 40 years in the desert. There was, following the redemption, there were still many teshuas, there were still many salvations the Jewish people still needed. So here, too, Rabbi Friedler wants to apply the same idea. You've got the overall redemption, and then you've got, now again, he doesn't really explain this part. So if he's following the same pattern that he says by Egypt, which means the need for salvations that followed after that, well, in Hanukkah, right, there's a certain misconception that, you know, although we celebrate Hanukkah on the 25th of Kislev, because that's when we took back the Beis HaMikdash, right, and a large portion of Yerushalayim, and it was clearly the beginning of our, it began our ability to serve Hashem again as we wanted to, but there are many more wars that have to be fought.
Another 7 years.
There was a number of years that still had to be fought to be able to free the rest of Israel from the Greeks and from their cohorts. There was a lot more that had to be done, and even that wasn't a simple thing to do. We know that basically all of the five sons of Matisyo were killed over this, besides for the last one at the end. So we're talking. So if you follow the same pattern that he seems to say by Mitzrayim, then the pattern is Purkan is being redeemed, being freed from under the domination of the Greeks, and sure, salvations are for what was needed still after that to basically complete the redemption from the Egypt, from the Greeks. There could be another way of learning it, and that is, you know, looking at the next word, right? We say va'ala teshuais, and for the salvations, va'ala melchamais, and for the wars. So if you translate it, it's for the miracles, for the redemption. Mm-hmm. Wait, how did that go? For the miracles, for the redemption, for the mighty deeds, for the salvations, and for the wars. What are we thinking, Hashem, for a war? Why do we thank Hashem for a war? But that goes in the line before, doesn't it? Isn't that included either in redemption or teshuas?
I don't know when this was written.
It was written all together. It was written all together.
At the
point.
The end?
I don't know. That's not the point. The point is that if we're talking about the wars, either the wars as the wars that freed the Beis HaMikdash, and if it's the following wars, we said that's included in teshuas. So what exactly is the, if it just means a salvation for the wars, then that should have been included in something before. So Rav Friedlander brings down that there are those who actually have a little bit of a change in the text. It's not the al hamelchamais and for the wars, but rather you read it va'ala teshuais, for the salvations, al hamelchamais, for the wars. Goes together. For the salvations,
not
for the wars.
Not separate.
For the salvations, for the wars. So again, so according to this, Purkan was redemption. Teshuais was more specific. There was the idea of being freed from the dominion. And there was the idea of the fact that we were able to be, had it, again, there's the redemption itself that we're thankful for. And then we're thankful for the fact that we were redeemed through these wars, which we were able to be saved from, because they were all against, the odds were against us. So if you learn that, it's one thing. Teshuais ala melchamais, that means the salvation for the wars, as you said. But to say that, it would seem you have to change the text a little bit. Rabbi Friedlander wants to suggest another explanation as to how we can explain va'ala melchamais as a separate thing, as a thing on its own. But that would be, but the question obviously is, you know, you thank Hashem for a war? Why would you thank Hashem for a war? So the way I understand it, the way I understand what he's saying is the following. And that is that he does say, the part that he says is like this. The part that he says is that at the end of the day, this war that we had to fight, what did it bring about? It brought about, as we say, a sanctification of Hashem's name, right? It says, and we say in Al-Anisim, after talking about how all our enemies were handed over in our hands, and you made for yourself, Hashem, a great and holy name. The name of Hashem was sanctified through these wars. So it comes out that at the end of the day, for whatever reason that Hashem decided we had to have a war, but what came out of the war? Sanctification of God's name. That's not a small thing. That's a very important thing. So at the end of the day, you would never look at a war itself and say that this is a fortunate thing to happen. But if at the end of the day, from the war, comes a miracle, a sanctification of Hashem's name, then it comes out there is time to thank Hashem for the war, because that was the vehicle to bring about a sanctification of God's name. Hashem knows, only Hashem knows why it had to come about this way. But at the end of the day, it came out. It was the vehicle to bring about sanctification of Hashem's name. Okay, then it's something to be thankful for. A Rebbe of mine one time told us, I remember this years ago, it really stuck in my mind. I'm not sure why, but it stuck in my mind. And I think that's applicable here. And again, I don't want to be presumptuous in any kind of way. But he told us that he knew someone who had a heart attack. And after going through everything after the heart attack, he made a comment. He said in Yiddish, "Siz geven kedai."
Is it?
"Siz geven kedai."
He's ready.
He said it was worth it. "Siz geven kedai." It was worth it. The heart attack was worth it. Worth it? What is that supposed to mean? But it means that whatever he went through and whatever he came out from it, he realized that he gained something from it. I don't know what he gained. Maybe I'm going to get specific. But whatever it is he gained from it, right? Whatever he experienced, whatever way he grew from it, he understood, right, that it was only through having a heart attack. So at the end, he said, "Sizgaven kedai." It was a worthwhile thing. If at the end of the day, no one asked for such a thing, no one's ever going to ask for such a thing. But at the end of the day, it happened, and there was benefit from it, clear benefit from it, the person said, he realized that this, it only happened through this. So at the end of the day, it was worth it. And that's what we're saying here also. We don't want wars. We never want a war. But if at the end of the day, it comes out through the war, as we said on Nisim, that's the vehicle to bring about a sanctification of Hashem's name. So then at the end of the day, it was something worthwhile. And it's something we even thank Hashem for. And therefore, even if you're going to, we could suggest an explanation for V'ala Melchamais, with the Vav there, making it a separate list, a separate item, and that it is something on its own that is worth happening, that is worth praising Hashem for. Okay. Now, Arkady asked before, right, Arkady? Arkady asked before, why are we calling this war a miracle? That's what you asked, right?
I ask you, why is this war? Because we have a lot of war, a lot of victory.
Right.
This is only battle.
You want to know why? Okay. Your question is, why is this the only war that we actually focus on the salvation of this war?
It's called miracle.
Well, what's your question? What's your question? Just two questions here. You got two questions here. One question is, why is it a miracle? The other question is, if it is a miracle, weren't there other wars that were miracles?
No, but this next question.
Okay, next question. So the first question is...
You said this is Anisim, it's an important part.
Right.
Because war is kind of miracle.
Right.
One is miracle is separate from candle. But this is war is a miracle.
Right.
It's not regular victory, but miracle.
Right.
And why?
Why?
Because this is a lot Greek, was a mighty country.
Because the Greeks were much mightier than Judah the Maccabee. As much as everybody makes Judah the Maccabee look like this, you know, 6'5", 275-pound muscle man, whether he was or wasn't, I couldn't tell you, but they definitely didn't have enough manpower to be able to defeat the Greek battalion in Israel.
They were fighting.
There was no way, and it's interesting that I think even he mentions it, Rabbi Friedland, or later. You know, a lot of people, you know, they talk about, it was guerrilla warfare. It was guerrilla warfare. They knew the countryside. Therefore, they hid in the mountains, and they could run out of the mountains and attack. You know, sometimes that works, and sometimes it doesn't. I can tell you a lot of places in this world, that you got people hanging out in caves or hiding away and doing terrorist attacks. But at the end of the day, right, if you unleash a mighty army on them, right, if anybody would unleash the power that they have on these people, right? You'd hold them at bay for sure, right? You could keep them locked up in those mountains. You wouldn't necessarily give up. Sure, there are examples of that, right? The American Revolution is described like that, you know? In Afghanistan, they always got rid of the Russians because they made them crazy. Okay? You're talking about a situation where they made them crazy. Israel is in Afghanistan, right? There may be mountains in Israel, but it's not like Afghanistan. And to go ahead and say that the whole reason Yehuda Maccabi was victorious because in your landscape was guerrilla warfare, it's a pretty weak argument. And therefore, we understand that the war was a miracle. It was miraculous they were able to be victorious over any platoon that they could have been fighting against. Any platoon they could have been fighting against. And therefore, we consider it a miracle. Now, why was this miracle? Why is this war a miracle that we celebrate more than others? Which one?
A lot of war.
Right, which ones?
Abraham war, David's war, no. Deborah war, Shimshon war.
Okay.
So a lot of war.
Okay.
But we only two of them.
Right.
Six days war. Example.
What did you say?
6 days war.
We don't make new holidays. We don't make new holidays. This was at the time when the sages were able to establish holidays. Okay, so the answer, I believe. Okay, I shouldn't say that. Okay, what would be the answer? I mean, Shimshon had wars. There were other wars. You're assuming. Wait a second. Let me ask a question. Would David HaMelech fought his wars? Yeah. First of all, the wars of David HaMelech, many of them were not to save the Jewish people. David HaMelech's wars, right? This is a situation, this and Purim, are a situation where the Jewish people are controlled by another nation that threatened them, that threatened their existence, either their spiritual existence or their physical existence, right? David HaMelech didn't fight a war in order to save the existence of the Jewish people. Shimshon, again, you know, maybe I need to be corrected, but even all the judges that had these problems with nations attacking and things like that, there was never a danger to the existence of the Jewish people.
They were controlled.
They made them problems, but it wasn't the existence of the Jewish people at threat. Here by Hanukkah, the spiritual existence of the Jewish people were threatened, which we'll talk about. And in Purim was the physical existence of the Jewish people that were threatened. And therefore, these two wars are very unique in the fact that they are miracles by which we were saved as a people. Mm-hmm. And that's why they became holidays.
There's a lot of Jews in the Shavnim that were...
That was another thing. That was another problem. So the first thing is to establish and understand the miracle. The second thing is, why are these miracles being celebrated more than other miracles? Because these miracles were salvations for the entire Jewish people's existence. Okay.
I think at the beginning it said there was like 3,000 Jews fighting, and up, I think the greatest amount was...
Yeah, ever. The highest was 9,000. While the Greeks were definitely more, were way more than
they
that.
They controlled everything.
Right. Okay. And you had the Misyavdim also.
Yeah, that's the worst kind.
Right. Okay. So next phrase that we need to talk about. So we said next phrase is where we just finished Ra'alam El Chamais for the wars. She'asisa la'avoseinu, that you performed for our fathers. Vayamim ha'heim, in those days. Bazman hazeh, at this time. This phrase, in those days, at this time. Okay, how do we explain that? All right, so the simplest explanation is, the miracles that you did for our fathers, in those days, at this time, means this time of the year, 25th of Kislev, at this date. Right? Bayamim Mahaim, in those days, at this time. That would be the simplest explanation. Another way of explaining it, on a deeper way, is the following. And the point would really be, and the point is going to be, that we're saying that you did for our forefathers in those days Some explained it as what you're doing for us now, right? That would be one explanation. One explanation would be that by Yomim Ha'im, in those days you say there are fathers, Bazman Hazeh. It doesn't say Ubizman Hazeh, but wait a minute. Actually, just give me a second. Okay. Your explanation that you just said is, again, if the wording is by Yomim Ha'im Hazman Hazeh, in those days at this time. So it's not in those days and at this time. It's in those days at this time. So it seems to be that there were those who did have a version of by Yomim Ha'im in those days, Ubizman Hazeh, and in this time. And that would mean that we'd be thanking, that when we're thanking Hashem for the miracles that that Hashem does to save our forefathers, we're mentioning that it's happening nowadays also. Whether we recognize it the same way and see it the same way or not, it's happening, the salvation, the miracles to save us from our enemies is happening Bazman Hazeh during this, in this time also. That'd be another explanation. Another explanation that he gives, if you don't add the vav and it's just in those days at this time, is the following. The Derech Hashem writes, and I'm going to read it to you in English. Some of the wording is not so easy to understand because the Derech Hashem is speaking a bit Kabbalistic, but he says like this. Besides the sanctification that exists to various degrees, depending on the holiness of each particular day, meaning, right, you have certain Yomim Tovim that are holier than others, there is another concept that is specific to each one. There's another concept that's specific to each and every holiday. On each of these special days, something happened whereby at this time a great rectification was accomplished and a great light shone. The highest wisdom decreed that on every anniversary of this period, a counterpart of its original light should shine forth, and the results of its rectification renewed to those who accept it. So that means that on every Yontif, let's talk about Pesach, right? When the first Pesach happened, for that to happen, Hashem basically let shine a light, an energy. He sent out an energy, a force, that brought about the Exodus from Egypt. The Derech Hashem is always kind of giving us a little more of a deeper understanding of the mechanics, how things work in a higher part of our existence. So when we experience Yetzias Mitzrayim, we're actually experiencing this energy, this light that Hashem sent down or allowed to flow down into the world that brought about the Exodus from Egypt. That flow of light that happened, or that flow of energy, that flow of sanctity, whatever the flow was and how it manifests itself on each holiday, that was not a one-time deal. The first time it happened on the date that it happened actually meant that now this day would be the day that that light would continue to shine and continue to flow. And that in a sense, what happened the first time continues to happen every anniversary of that day every year. The very first Exodus from Egypt, there was that light in which the energy came down, the energy from Hashem came down to bring redemption of the Jewish people from Egypt. Every Pesach, that light comes down again, that energy flows again, and we have the ability to receive it and accept it and to experience at some level what our forefathers experienced through that flow of energy the first time. We relive it. We have that same experience. We were redeemed from Egypt. We were redeemed from the power of evil on the first Pesach. And every Pesach, that light comes down. And again, if we accept that light, we could also again experience that freedom from evil that came from when we left Mitzrayim. When Hanukkah occurred, and we were freed from the domination of the Greeks and the influence of the Greeks, and we were able to get back to our service of Hashem. It was a time of renewal of service to Hashem. That means the first light that came down on the 25th of Hanukkah, by which we were now able to become free from the Greeks, to be free from their influence, and to renew our service to Hashem, that light comes down every single Hanukkah. And every single Hanukkah, we have the ability to receive that light, to receive that flow of energy, and to, at some degree, experience in the spiritual sense what our forefathers experienced the very first Hanukkah. And therefore, the meaning of Bayomim Hahem Bazman Hazeh means to say what you did for our forefathers at that time, in those days, in this time. What happened in those days is in this time. They're both together. They're not separate things. It's all the same thing. Whatever happened the first time actually happens again now. And that's the meaning. That's a bit more of a deeper meaning of this phrase, Bayim Mahem Bazman Hazeh. What happened at that time, in those days, at this time, it's the same thing. It's the same thing. The same light, the same energy that came down the first Hanukkah again comes down every single Hanukkah.
So the difference of the two explanations is what you just said happens again.
Right.
It's the same light.
Right.
The other one is, it's a new light.
Okay.
It's a new light.
Okay.
It's not from the other light.
Okay.
It's like the other light, but it's a new one.
Good. Good. It's a new. It's a new miracle.
New miracle.
Good.
But you mean new miracle every Hanukkah?
No. What right? I said or what he said?
Hmm? No, but right? You said
I got a great leg.
Yeah. It means in now we expect the same miracle. Yeah.
We expect or we receive the same energy, the same flow of spiritual light that came down the first time for Hanukkah, and brought us. And raised us spiritually, and then allowed the miracle to take place. That happens every single Hanukkah. We may not see a miracle every single Hanukkah, but we're receiving the same light of Hanukkah and the same light from the first Hanukkah that spiritually raised us away and above from the control of the Greeks happens every year.
Spiritually,
yeah.
It's not promised to every war.
No.
Could be miracle.
No. But it means spiritually. Okay. All right. So that's the last part. For our forefathers, in those days at this time. Okay. So just a little bit more. Then we begin. After going through the introduction, we start off. Bimei Matisyahu ben Yochanan Kohen Gadol Chashmonai Uvanav. The name is Matisyahu, the son of Yochanan, Kohen Gadol. Okay, who was the Kohen Gadol here, Matisyahu or Yochanan?
Don't know.
Who is this title, Kohen Gadol? Who's it going on? Is it going on Matisyahu? Is it going on his father? So my Friedlander says it's going on his father. His father Yochanan, he was a well-known Yochanan Kohen Gadol. That it was one Yochanan Kohen Gadol that soured at the end. Maybe there's more than one, but, I don't know. But that's the family.
No.
But the way Rabbi Friedlander says it is that Yochanan, this Yochanan, who was the father of Matisyahu, was the son of Shimon HaTzadik. Shimon HaTzadik of the second mission of Pirkei Avos. Shimon HaTzadik was the Kohen Gadol. After him was his son Yochanan, who became Kohen Gadol. And then Matisyahu was his son. Matisyahu wasn't the Kohen Gadol. So the title Kohen Gadol is not going on Matisyahu, but on his father Yochanan. Okay, Chashmonai is either a family name, or Rabbi Friedlander brings down that the word Chashmonai also means significant, important, illustrious. Chashmonai is not a name of a family as much as a kind of title of importance that they carried as important people. Okay, Mr. Shem, we'll continue with this next week.
My son was